car. In the limits of disturbance, that area would be an example of a sliver of habitat that could be removed.
Temporarily,
yeah. So the other point I wanted to make was this: that was disturbed 20 years ago when the place was built, and it looks like that now, right? So it is a temporary disturbance that does come back over time. Now, whether or not that turn, maybe, and the reason why that's potentially contemplated is you can see if you had a large piece of equipment come in here, would it be able to make that turn? Would you need to actually expand the turn a little bit so that it could make the turn? That's really what you're saying. And that same scenario was really repeated, you know, once you go up on every turbo pad. That's where the area of potential impact is. And then when you add all of those slivers up, plus the things along the edges of the roads, that's where you get the 20. So I wanted to kind of point that out. And this would be an example then where, next year when there are yellow-faced bee nest surveys out here, if, you know, nesting bees were discovered in this area, as we talked about last night, there would be a buffer on the surface of the area. And so we would have to find a way to work around the bees and in the burrows. I want to point it out because, like, this is a pretty good example of like where that limit of disturbance comes from. Yes.
So in the HTP, it references potentially craneless technology and or cranes. That has, I know we had a recent meeting where you said that's still being worked on, like decision making behind that, but how big are these cranes, like in terms of this area? Like, would it be literally, I mean, it'd still be in that 23 disturbance, limited disturbance.
It would, yeah.
Or specific.
Yeah, I mean, our solution is to go at least mostly craneless. So think of putting it's actually a lifting system on top of that nacelle, and then now you're, instead of using a big conventional crane to lift components up, you've got this thing on top of the nacelle that then lowers cables down and then hooks things, brings them up. So you'll still need a kind of a crane, a normal crane on wheels that put that lifting system up there, but it's far smaller than a conventional crane.
And that would just be on the existing pad.
Everything would be on the existing pad. Yeah.
But you know, the cranes that exist wouldn't come in and be outside of that 23.2 acres.
That's right.
That's what you've justified, that even with this major maintenance, it wouldn't change.
That's correct.
Because you have done this level of major maintenance at the advent, like at the beginning of the project?
Actually, required to stay outside of the vegetated areas. If there was a requirement for those to actually go out and move it, I think it would have to be discussed and agreed upon.
Did want to point out was, and we were just kind of talking about this, you know, there have been nest burrow surveys out here, and we've all talked about some of that information, but there hasn't, you know, the extent of those surveys has been limited, and it hasn't been in the wind facility at all. There's been what I'll just call like incidental or anecdotal observations of bees. Perfect scenario. We are trying to be creative and working and appreciate the help that the entomologists have been providing and all the time to kind of help us think through this.
Thank you. the only ones that we know of for this species anywhere. So it's become really important for us to protect these places because it's the only place we know it to occur.
What's the range of this species?
So you mean in Hawaii?
Yeah.
I think Oahu had, right now really it's only on Lanai and Maui.
Just the one population, or there's more than one?
There's a couple coastal sites where they're at, but like this you'll see one, yeah. You see one, or and there you can see them. You can see them in the summertime because there they have. It's probably because they have the host plants that are providing for them. Here, the host disappears, so they disappear and go in hibernate in the ground, is what we think. Until, you know, the signals tell them it's time to eat again. You got food out there, but at the coast, they can stick around because they got other plants like nampaka that. Somewhat of an incline, not so much like flat ground. It's got to be some kind of little slope or a rock. Like they could go underneath this rock. I was saying they're similar to sea birds where they're going on the roots of trees. We're doing more research to understand the nest right now. So Kahi and Paul, they've been coming out here.
About one, two larvae in a nest.
And up to 27 centimeters below ground level.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And one entrance can lead to multiple chambers. Yes.
So there's the way we're thinking about that from an avoidance perspective is going forward, you know, there would be a survey of all of the limits of disturbance, and then if burrows are found in an area, those areas would be avoided. And then, so next year the plan is to survey everything. And then the one thing we haven't quite figured out is then going forward in the future, after the major maintenance activities are done and you're doing more routine stuff, you know, the surveys could probably be more targeted. Except you have to know what you're going to do for the whole year because the surveys have to happen in a certain time. And So that would be an annual process that we would work with GoFi. So, yep, exactly. And then I guess the other thing, another thing that has been a discussion point is like on the mitigation side, like what do you do? And there's, you know, they're also, I think you all are also doing a lot of research right now to kind of figure out what kind of habitat management, maybe I'm incorrect, what kind of habitat management can be done to maybe attract nesting, right?
Is yeah, that, exactly.
And so
that mitigation is planned to happen like on this site or like an adjacent site, so this population of bees. I think you're
right. So what we're learning about seabirds is that they like to build their burrows depending on with the wind direction. So I was curious if the bees tend to put burrows on the windward side or the leeward side of little pools like this.
That's a good question.
I've seen burrows facing the wind. Yeah. I've seen them facing away. But it's always on a slope where the water can't go right inside. It's it's like a sideways.
It's more engine. Of a water issue than a wind issue.
Yeah, right? I think it's just so it doesn't collapse.
Okay. Are we going to get to see one?
Have a quick look and see if we can find one right here for you guys.
Can we get a prize if we find one? We gotta keep our nets.
Everyone spread out.
The wind is, you know.
We could do stuff all over the place, but if we let the core go, then so I think nothing's been decided, of course, but like I think the mitigation package, I'll just call it, would be a combination of, you know, keeping the islands at these areas, maintaining the core, the rest of our ability, and then as the research tells us, then maybe do some enhancements to try to expand the core. That's very general, but I mean, that's kind of like where we are right now.
Like restoring adjacent areas to be nesting sites.
Yeah, as long as say a combination, I think, yeah, exactly. Check the core area so it doesn't degrade over time, and then enhance areas to try to expand it. Because what we were just saying is like we could do all kinds of enhancement around, but then if we let the core area degrade, then it kind of defeats that purpose. So I think a combination.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's really
at least is point out where burrows would typically be.
Yeah.
So in a place like this, I would talk.
Okay, so I have a question, comment, concern all wrapped in one. I have two actually. So one has to do with the search area. I've said it a few times, but just to make sure we all hear. Finding something to get in all the way up there. I'm not sure. I understand what the modeling is, but I'm not sure that's realistic after being up here. So that's going to be something I think we need to talk through when we have less wind and we're all together somewhere. But this, I'm concerned about that. And then also, just in general, about the HCP. All the mitigation not being fulfilled from the first one, and you guys are asking for a second one. And I wasn't at the last meeting, so I wanted to get your folks' opinion, or I think the wording that you used was you have a strong commitment to meeting that, but I'm wondering, I don't really understand what that means legally, so I'm hoping you can share some of that, or you or Miguel. Miguel left, so I guess it's you.
Okay.
Started this in Haleakala.
funding happened, I think the issue, and this was before my time here, but the issue was getting the SHA in place. I think that took a long time. And so that delayed the translocation.
For the
ranch, yeah. I can look more into that history, and I think some of that history is discussed in appendix something of the Appendix H of the HCP. I pulled what I could from old reports as to kind of pulling that history together.
Any other comments from the PSRC members? Too bad Danica's not here. I would really love to get her opinion on some of this. So what is our process for being able to discuss this when Danica's present?
I think a follow-up meeting with the ESRC, so like I can organize a follow-up meeting after this. And make sure Danica would attend for the in-person or Zoom meeting.
Okay.
And I think we did, in terms of just processing it as well, I think I guess, is that there would be, you know, eventually a recommendation from the SRC for board. And I'll just say the November time range. We could have another meeting, because we had the meeting a couple weeks ago. We could have another meeting in
speaking, with the methods that we have, and I think if we stick to the methods, we know work, we can avoid.
So on the mitigation side, do you guys have any recommendations that aren't in this plan that we should be aware of?
Can I ask for you all, for the avoidance and minimization, you being the entomologist, like, would nest, like, if you're surveying and you delineate different nests, is nest avoidance something that you're wanting, like, full nest avoidance, or what?
Yes.
Regarding the nest?
Yes. We do want avoidance.
But, and that's how the HCP is written now, correct? That, yeah.
But does it indicate...
Would be plagued,
does it
and
say,
we would avoid it.
But I think it just indicates to the maximum, I don't think it says nest avoidance?
I believe it does.
Does it?
Yeah. Okay. And it's that if nests were missed, that would be the only way a nest would be impacted.
Okay.
Would be if a nest was
that's
missed
really,
in the survey.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Like, that's really where the SNL take comes from. It's like, if there was going to be disturbance in an area, there would be a survey. If nests were found, it would be avoided.
Okay.
But in it, you know, they're hard to find sometimes. So if, in the event that maybe there was nests that weren't found, that's what, you know, take incident might occur.
Like undocumented nests.
Thank you.
journalist.
If you guys have any questions or comments, now's the time.
Yes.
Follow up question. So do you have a mitigation update?
mandate mitigation off island. We have argued against this for years. Exposures at Makamaka Ole. Patience is what we need. We're doing social attraction. We should be able to get those birds in there. We're very hopeful about that. We don't want the funding to be sent to Larry Ellison. It should be here. And there's more research that we are doing and that can be done to find the other Mauna Kahalavai populations and find where we can protect them in situ, or where we can move other birds to set up other social attraction sites, build other bird-proof exclusions where we can put them. Other point I want to follow up, because we talked about the take of birds here at the facility, I have been concerned about this from the beginning. They were not just species we were finding, but other of our Anuoki Kai, Ikea, the Eva bird that are getting taken by these towers, and they're flying very much farther than the distance that's been observed. I found Ikea more than 100 meters away from the facility. The wing came down, it was cut off right near the tower. The body was more than 100 meters.
was made to keep with that so that we can get that mitigation done as close as possible to the beginning of the permit so that we don't end up in a situation like the Nene where we're 19 years in and we haven't met that obligation yet.
Here, and the obligation, as I think we are seeing it, is that the obligation is Mauna Kahala Vine. That's where we're trying to mitigate for. And whether we know or not, most of the tracking that has been done is not showing that birds coming here. More likely, I would believe that they would come off Mauna Kahala than from other islands. So,
meeting at 12:25 p.m. in the afternoon. We're adjourned.